Now, oil spills don't just affect the coasts and the shorelines that they wash up on, although they may be what we see more of on the news. They can also cause important changes out at sea. I spoke with Amy Hirons from Nova Southeastern University in Florida to find out about the effects of oil in the pelagic realm.
Well, I'm a biological oceanographer, and my interests really stem with looking at how ocean production, or food, is transferred from the smallest organisms, the phytoplankton, the plants, and the zooplankton, the animals, and how that's passed through the food web in the ocean all the way to apex predators. The method that I use is utilizing stable isotope ratios. A lot of people understand or at least have heard of radioisotopes, which naturally decay over time, such as carbon-14, which can be used for dating. Stable isotope is somewhat similar, except it doesn't decay, and so it's used as a natural tracer. There are stable isotopes of many elements, such as carbon and nitrogen. So I can actually take a piece of tissue or bone or sediment and combust the sample, and I use a mass spectrometer then to look at the ratio of heavier and lighter isotopes, such as carbon or nitrogen. That provides this information on many different levels. One, basically, who's eating whom. With nitrogen, carbon can actually give us information about geographic location. If an organism is found in the near shore, in the estuarine environment, versus offshore in the pelagic, or whether it's pelagic in the open water versus benthic on the ocean floor.
So by tracing the carbon isotopes, you're effectively tracing the impacts of oil spills through the food chain.
Yes, and by working with environmental chemists who can look at various fractions of the petroleum product itself and then comparing that to the same kind of components of cells of fish and invertebrates and plankton, we can determine if certain components of petroleum are truly being incorporated physiologically in an organism and then being passed on through the food web. Previous work that I did after the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Prince William Sound, Alaska, indicated that for many different organisms, there were different impacts. Certainly, there was the external, the direct impacts of reduced primary production because there wasn't the phytoplankton able to stay in the water column and synthesize, photosynthesize. But then there were fish that developed ulcers and tumors. There were decreased numbers of populations of various organisms, such as stellar sea lions and harbor seals, that we began to be concerned that this carbon and other elements or other components of petroleum products were actually being incorporated and damaging the cells of these organisms. And that is our major concern right now, is that we don't have a lot of information about some of the detrimental impacts, particularly at the base of the food web in the phytoplankton and the zooplankton.
And of course, it's not just the oil that's having effects, it's how we're dealing with the oil as well. Is that right?
That's correct. Many oil companies use a chemical dispersant to help break apart the oil, much like a dish detergent is added to a sink full of dirty dishes that may have oil deposits to help break apart the oil or the little globs. So BP has been using their own chemical dispersant called Corexit, and they've been releasing it at the source of the oil from the deepwater horizon. What most people don't know, as far as I am aware, is what impact that dispersant is actually going to have on the cellular level of different organisms. So where we've been talking about the potential impact of petroleum and how it's traced through the food web, we don't know about the chemical dispersant. And that also could be having detrimental effects to a degree that we just don't know.
So what do you think? I mean, obviously, with the spill in the Gulf of Mexico, do you think it's going to be, we're going to be seeing the impact and the accumulation of the oil from that in seals, seabirds, that sort of thing, in years to come?
I absolutely believe that to be the case based on what we've seen in other locations like Prince William Sound. Another serious impact that the oil can have, not just on the phytoplankton and the zooplankton, but juveniles, those organisms that have recently been hatched or spawned. at the time of the oil spill from the deepwater horizon was also a similar timing that many organisms actually spawn. So we have the water column is now full of developing ichthyoplankton or baby fish that may be impacted. We may lose year classes of fish or invertebrates. We just don't know at this point. It's just too early to tell.
Because I suppose most people, you see on the news the impact with seabirds and the large-sized animals, but people don't necessarily think that the impact on the microscopic life out in the open ocean.
Oftentimes my concern is that people have this out of sight, out of mind feeling about oil or an oil spill. People tend to not think about what they can't see. That's human nature, I believe. And again, I've repeated it several times, they're the base of the food web. Without the phytoplankton and the zooplankton, you don't have anything else in the ocean. And that's why it's critical for us to find out what the impact of petroleum products are having.
That was Amy Hirons from Nova Southeastern University in Florida talking to me about how the contamination from oil spills can be traced in the open ocean and the damage it can cause.
Well, speaking with Amy as well as with Robinson earlier, we're getting this feeling that we really have no idea yet just what the fallout ecologically is going to be from the Deepwater Horizon disaster and what the Gulf of Mexico will be like in the years to come. And just because perhaps the oil seems to have disappeared, you know, visually we can't see so much of it, there's still a lot going on there. And I think we're just going to have to keep watching this space for the next couple of years, if decades even, to see, you know, what the effect is going to be, especially in the Gulf, which already facing so many other threats already.
Well, exactly. I mean, Amy was stressing to me that it's really a case of we just don't know how things are going to pan out for a lot of species, right from the plankton right up to the top of the food chain. And it is a case of watch this space. And, you know, hopefully there'll be ways of ameliorating the damage, but it's definitely something that needs a lot more research.